talking today with Robert Schnackenberg, who is the author of a new faux reference book, shall we say. It's the Underground Baseball Encyclopedia, baseball stuff you never needed to know, and can certainly live with that, and we're glad that Bob has a chance to chat with us today. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good, thank you. Good. Well, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
It's a fun little read. Tell me how you came up with the idea to do something like this.
Well, I've always wanted to do a baseball book. So then the question became, what kind of baseball book could I get published? I think you mentioned that it's a faux reference book. I think that's the only kind of reference book that I could write. I was always, you know, terrible at math, so a stat book was out of the question. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a historian. But I have written popular reference books. I've written books about Christopher Walken and William Shatner and other topics. So I thought, well, what's a kind of a baseball reference book that's different from what's already out there? And I kind of ran through a lot of different ideas that I wasn't actually able to sell. I had an idea to do a baseball baby name book. I thought about doing a field guide to ballpark mascots. I wanted to do a book compiling baseball references in pop culture. What players were on Mr. Ed or Beverly Hillbillies, that kind of thing. And in the end, it proved really, really hard to sell publishers on any kind of non-traditional baseball reference book. But I had all this great material that I'd collected for the various book proposals that I'd done. So I thought, well, maybe that's my idea. My idea is to do a baseball encyclopedia that's filled with all the stuff that isn't in the traditional baseball encyclopedias as a kind of supplement or minority report to the baseball reference books that are already out there. So that was the basic concept, and luckily enough, Triumph Books liked the idea and offered to publish it.
Now, in doing research for this, did you consult the traditional? There are a couple of very good baseball pop culture encyclopedia out there. Did you consult those for an idea of what you didn't want to include?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of sort of wacky off-the-ball baseball Hall of Shame type reference books that I consulted. In a lot of cases, they're really out of date, and the sense of humor is kind of a little bit archaic. I wanted to make it a little bit more contemporary and sort of bring in the kind of snarky, for want of a better word, and I hate that word, sensibility that you get on blogs and in the online community. So I wanted to kind of take that template of books that have sort of been done like that before, maybe. Spiff it up a little bit and make the language a little bit more accessible for younger readers today.
Mm-hmm. What was the most difficult part of putting a book like this together?
The most difficult part is figuring out what not to include. There comes a point where you could just keep coming up with entries, and one entry suggests another, and you find old commercials and old clips on YouTube that spark ideas for new entries, and it starts feeding on itself, and you realize, will I ever get this down to the word count that we agreed upon in the, you know, very short period of time I had to turn it around in order to get it out for opening day of the new season. So it becomes an exercise in editing yourself and editing your entry list down to a manageable level while still, you know, trying to touch just all the bases of having, you know, as many of the mascots as I could get in there, as many of the vendors and the super fans that I put in there, trying to have that be as comprehensive as possible.
When you were submitting all these different entries and items, was there something that you really wish had appeared that got cut?
Nothing really got cut. There are things that, you know, once I turned in the manuscript, I realized, oh, I forgot to include that guy. You know, Dick Allen is a guy who really should have an entry in the book. And, you know, I'm waking up every day and realizing, you know, there's people that I should have included in there. Or I'll remember something like, you know, Kurt Bavakwa winning the bubblegum blowing contest. And I'll be like, damn, that should have been in the book.
Well, there's volume two.
So there's volume two. And as of right now, I'm putting those things up on the book's Facebook page. So there is a home for supplemental material now on the web, which is great. So I'm using that.
So this seems like a fun book to do.
It was definitely fun. I mean, as I say, it was a dream of mine. I mean, I've been writing sort of irreverent nonfiction and reference books for a while, and I'm kind of coming to the end of my tether on writing about TV and movies, and I was thinking of other topics that are really interesting to me, and, you know, I've always been a lifelong baseball fan, so it's, I'll say it's a dream come true.
And how much of an input did you have on the design of the book? Because it's kind of cute design. It's obviously a reference design, alphabetical order. It's nicely illustrated with little sidebars and fillers. How much of input did you have in that aspect?
Mostly it was just they would run things by me. I mean, they ran the different cover ideas by me. And for my approval and input, so I would give input on the design, but mostly it was done by Paul Petrowski at the Triumph Books, who did a great job, and Adam, who's the developmental editor there, was instrumental in finding a lot of the photo material that's in the book. I mean, he found some really interesting stuff, and I think he got a guy at Wrigley Field to take a picture of the seat that Bartman had sat in. I mean, so there was kind of a guerrilla approach to finding interesting visual material to accompany the entries, which I think really suited the book well, and I'm happy with the way it looks.
Now, some of these things are fairly easy and obvious to find. The pieces on Roseanne Barr, let's say, and Keith Hernandez mm-hmm. on the Seinfeld show. How did you go about doing the research on the superfans and the vendors?
Well, there's actually, I mean, a lot of them in the local markets, there will have been newspaper articles. Some of them get written up in even national magazines like SI. I mean, the guy who throws the peanuts at the Dodger games, he had national and local press profiles multiple times. So there is material out there. It's just, and with the web, it's really easy to access with Google News and other archives that are online to try and find those articles. So that was not difficult at all. There's always team web pages are a font of great historical information on mascots, I've found. Obviously, you know, every mascot pretty much has his own little section on the team website, so you can go up and read their history there and then you know, find supplemental material through the newspapers and magazines.
Is there one entry more than any of the others that you consider your favorite?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have an answer.
It's just like children. They're all your favorite. It's hard to pick.
Exactly. I mean, I think I'm really proud of the mascot coverage because I don't think that's really covered in quite the same way in any other book. And you know, I still think that there could be an entire book just on the history of sports mascots. So I'll stake my claim on that one. I think, you know, some of the stuff that we found, and maybe hardcore fans know about or maybe casual fans don't, like, you know, Dan Quisenberry's poetry career, and I included an excerpt from one of his poems. That stuff I really like. And obviously some of the historical stuff about 10-Cent Beer Night and Disco Demolition Night and, you know, Michael Clark Duncan and being at Disco Demolition Night and Jim Bouton inventing.
That was very
cool. I'm still waiting for the. I still think there needs to be either an ESPN to a 30 for 30 on that, or there needs to be a TV movie where Michael Clark Duncan plays himself.
Nowadays, authors are called upon to do a lot more of the publicity for their projects than may have been the case in the past. So, what have you been doing to promote the book?
Well, I think they just Triumph just sent out the copies of the book with the press release and all that to the media last week. So hopefully we're going to be doing some radio. We've gotten some reviews, which I've posted up on the Facebook page. And hopefully we're going to be doing more of that. There's also some talk about doing some kind of app for the iPhone, which would be interesting. That's sort of in the planning stages. But that would be another way to adapt the content for a different platform.
Do you have a site dedicated to the book? A website?
I don't. Right now it's just a Facebook fan page where I've been putting all the supplemental information.
And how would someone access that?
You could just go to Facebook and search on Underground Baseball Encyclopedia, and it'll take you right there.
Very good, very good. Again, the name of the book is The Underground Baseball Encyclopedia. And, Bob, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.